As our children go upstairs and as Pat makes his way up here, some of you heard Pat preach here before.
Yes.
I remember him saying that in his last message, one of the things that stood out to me is that there are people who trust Christ and they are, in a sense, outposts of the kingdom. They're people who have the kingdom values, they have the kingdom culture, and they shine like lights in the darkness, or they're salt, and he uses these metaphors, but it's kingdom outposts. And this morning, he's going to keep preaching through Fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, and I'll let him say what he's going to say. But what I appreciate about it is, as my mind kind of connected what he said before and the Fruit of the Spirit, I realized, oh, God's ready to share something else with us about this outpost of the kingdom, that when we have the Fruit of the Spirit, we're even more of an outpost. So we'll find out what the rest of that message is. Thanks, Pat, for speaking this morning.
Now, for those of you that just waited so patiently for me to hobble up to the pulpit, you have intuited the kernel of the sermon, and you can probably be dismissed. You can just go grab lunch now. You're good. You got it. Amen. Thank you for being here. Some of you knew that I was preaching and came anyway. Amen. Thanks for that. I appreciate that very much. Let me get myself settled up. I promise to be brief on the sermon on patience. For those of you that don't know me, a childhood car accident. I was on a bike, the other guy was in a car, smashed my left side, and it has done damage to my spinal cord that has only increased over time. So, I have learned to be patient because my brain goes and my body goes, yeah, well, maybe next week we'll start thinking about that. So I have learned patience over time. When Pastor Ben was gracious enough to ask me to speak on the fruit of the Spirit, it was a joke between us, but I'm definitely not the joy guy, right? Definitely not the gentleness guy. Some of you would be like, nah, I'm dipping. I'm gone. I'm not the right fella for that topic. But patience I can do. Many are the times I have trembled on the rock, but the rock has never trembled under me. Amen. Thank you. Let me pray. Father God, I need your help. We need your help. More than information, more than logic, more than persuasion, we need your presence to bear witness to the truth of what is being said this morning. I am asking and inviting your Spirit to be here. I pray, God, that you would take these words, these ideas, connect them in the hearts and minds and lives of the people who need them. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless us with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, patience in particular. Let's admit here and now, this is not going to be a particularly exciting topic. No one is going to run out of church afterwards and go, praise God, let's go out there into the world and be patient for Jesus. That'll really get them. Holy Ghost and fire. More of a slow burn kind of thing. Prepping for this sermon, it's hard to find good patience quotes. I tell you, you can find a lot of impatient quotes. No one really likes this virtue. It's what's called the tough virtue. In fact, Julius Caesar said, it's easier for me to find men willing to die than it is for me to find men who are willing to endure patiently. It's not popular. It's not particularly exciting. And yet, it's one of the more important human skills, important life skills that we can have as human beings, particularly in modern society. In a blisteringly fast, instant gratification society, patience is lost. God feels it is critically important. In fact, so much so, it's part of his nature. And he promises to send the Holy Spirit to help us develop this virtue inside of us. This is something that he feels so strongly about. He's like, nah, they're going to need help with this one. And in fact, I'm sending the third person of the eternal Godhead to help them develop it. Starting text, Galatians 5, 22, 23, you should know it by now. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Before I start, I want to give you a quick word about fruit, this fruit or any fruit. Before we get to any definitions or anything like that, it's worth noting that this trait, this skill, this virtue, this fruit, like any fruit, grows in normal soil with cultivation in the sun. Normal soil with cultivation in the sun. And that's not me trying to be clever. I mean, that's a natural connection between the sun and the sun. Whether we're discussing patience or any other virtue, any other fruit on that list, it's vital to remember that they are available when we go to God. They are available when we go to God. The authentic, durable versions of these virtues, not the kind of hallmark precious moments ones that tend to fold under pressure. Most human beings on the planet acknowledge that the character traits listed in our text are good, they are necessary, and they are virtuous. Christians are not more special, more loved, or radically different than any other human being on the planet. We are all made of the same flawed clay. The difference is that because of our decision to accept Christ as our Savior, to put Jesus as the Lord in the center of our life, is that we have somewhere to go to. We have someone to go to ask for help. Love, human beings have the capacity for love and joy and patience, gentleness, kindness. We have the capacity for all those things. They run out in a mortal world. They run out in a brittle, hard world. They run out in a mean world, in a cruel world. We can go to God and get a refill. We can go to God and get forgiveness. We can go to God and get renewed. That is the difference. The difference is that in the equation of our life, we have an X factor. The X factor of God and the Holy Spirit. The series is a good reminder for me. That not only does God intervene and guide and provide, he cuts back the weeds of bitterness and rage and self-pity and vengeance and insecurity and despair, and he helps encourage these better traits to grow instead. In my relationship with God, in my real world, real problems, honest day-to-day interactions with him, he renews, restores, and refills me. He is the one who causes these fruits to grow in me in response to the trials, the transitions, and the trauma of living in this world. That's what everybody goes through. The difference is that we can go to him. We can go to him, and it's there in the normal soil of life with cultivation. When we go to the sun, he causes these things to grow. Patience is one of them. You are enduring this little burble patiently. I will be quick. Overview of this morning's sermon. I'd like to offer a definition of patience. I'd like to talk about the posture of patience. And I'd like to talk about God's promises to the patient. Definitions of patience, the posture of patience, and God's promises to the patient. Patience defined. Dictionary, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. In the New Testament, there's two Greek words, macrothumia, which is used in patience in respect to people. Amen. And hupomone, endurance, which is putting up with things or circumstances. The first word literally means to be long-souled. To be long-souled. The second means to abide under. Their concepts of endurance, long-suffering, being slow to anger, yes, of course, but it really means to take the long view, to play the long game, to be constant, to persevere. In Hebrew, it's slightly weirder, because if you take the Hebrew word, it literally means somebody with long nostrils, somebody who takes deep breaths. I had the occasion of driving in traffic on 28 the other morning, and there were several deep breaths that I had to take with people from, so I'm like, oh, you're from New Jersey. I can tell. I knew that before I saw your license plate. Deep breaths, deep calming breaths. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you, these are the apostles, the preachers, we want each of you Christians to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Patience. Through faith and patience. Over the years of being a Christian, I've heard a lot of talk about faith as the key to getting God's promises. It is. But I have to say to you that some of them are a double lock. The other key is patience. There's an old joke. There's a Christian in prayer, and he asks God, he says, hey, your perspective on things is different than mine, isn't it? And God's like, yeah, very much so. And the Christian goes, so a minute to you is like 100 years? And God's like, yeah. And he goes, and $1 million is like a penny? And God's like, yeah. And then the guy thinks a minute and he goes, hey, you said in the word that you would give me anything I asked for in Jesus' name. And God goes, yes. And he goes, can I have a penny? And God goes, sure. Give me a minute. Let's talk about what patience isn't. Patience is not passive. Patience is not apathy. Patience is not enfeebled tolerance for sin or error. Patience is not ignoring an emergency. Yes, there is an element of restraint in patience. One of the quotes I found was, God, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money too. But waiting on the Lord should not be Christianese for indecisiveness. It is not ignoring an urgent need or a festering issue. It is not being neglectful or in denial or avoiding responsibility. We can see from the definitions that there is the posture of patience includes perseverance, consistency, diligence, and action. The oft-quoted verse, and one that was given to me as a new Christian, boy, if I had only known, Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. I got that word and I was like, sure. Okay, let's go. God's like, oh, okay, hang on. It's going to be a minute. The definition of patience: to endure, to be long-souled, to be long-nostrilled, to take deep, calming breaths, to take the long view, to have a long perspective, to understand that there is a long version of this, that we're in it for the long haul. To recognize that. It's always easier when somebody else is going through a trial. Amen. It's always easier to praise God, brother, sister, God's really going to help you. But when I'm going through a trial, I'm like, what? Like, now would be good. Now. Patience may be a virtue, but how about hurry the heck up? That would be a good virtue. No. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The posture of patience. Duration, not delay. Process, not a penalty. There's a term that's used in multiple fields, from biology to cognitive development to craft brewing to vintners: maturation. Maturation is a term referring to the process of growth, development, and refinement that can only occur over time. And this is tough to the modern mind. Whether we're discussing the physical growth of a child in the womb, the mental or emotional development of a person into an adult, the ripening of grain in a field, fruit in a vineyard, from gestation to fermentation, time is essential for the item in question to reach its full potential and its finished state. God deploys the agriculture analogy for a reason. Most of the listeners in the first century accepted and had an intimate familiarity with the concept of patience and agriculture. We get our food from a store or a drive-through. They got theirs from their yard. They grew it. They understood to raising it, seeding it, storing it. They understood this concept in their bones and in their bellies. The idea of stages, phases, rhythms, time, seasons. They grasped that intuitively. They knew that there were things that only God could do. But in the meantime, they did what they could do. I think we get into trouble when we try to be God to the seed that we planted, and that is a God process. Our job is to weed, to water, to cultivate, to make sure no bugs or pests get there, right? That's our part of the gardening task, but the seed is doing the thing that only the seed can do in its own time that God has set up. Whether we're talking about patience or impatience with ourselves, with other people, with circumstances, big or small, near or far, or with God. Well, I know we don't like to admit that we're impatient with God, but we are sometimes. I wish you would move quicker. I don't know why you're not. I don't know why this prayer is being unanswered the way I answer, not answered the way I want it to be answered in the time that I want it to be answered. Please, thank you very much. God does not have 2-day prime delivery. Oh, it's heartbreaking. We need to exercise patience with ourselves, with our circumstances, with other people, and with God. And you have to acknowledge that time is a factor. There are other factors, such as other people's decisions. and the process by which a seed germinates and takes root, whatever it might be. I have a friend who's a NICU nurse, neonatal intensive care. Premature babies are a bad thing. Premature babies, it's heartbreaking. We wouldn't be, might not be good if, you know, there was like, just like the Kodak thing, you know, like you kiss your wife and bzzz, out comes a kid, you know. Their time is the process. You cannot shortcut that process. And to shortcut at least to something that is vulnerable or that passes. Time in that case and in other cases is the necessary and good thing. And the delay, the duration, the process, the duration is not so much a delay. The process is not a penalty. It is the necessary ingredient for this thing to be fully developed. God's time is not our time. You've been around church any amount of time, you've heard that. It's true. There are other factors, there are other elements in play, and some of them simply take time. They cannot be legitimately accomplished any other way. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God does miracles. I am not a cessationist. I believe in miracles. Believe it or not, I have prayed for people to get healed and they have been healed. And I go, what is up with that? That is so weird. God does miracles. God intervenes. God moves. God guides. God speaks. God helps. But he does not take shortcuts. Not when it comes to quality, not when it comes to authenticity, not when it comes to the development of the character of Christ in his children. Not when it comes to the witness of his son in our lives, through our lives, to the people out there in the world. Not when it comes to salt that is salty and light that is bright that actually makes a difference. Accept no substitutes, accept no shortcuts. When it comes to God working in our lives and through our lives and in the world, whether it's in the immediate sphere of influence or the broader, bigger circle of the earth, answers to our prayers, we have to remember that duration is not a delay, and that the process is not a punishment on us. It is not because you have no faith, and it's not because you are imperfect or flawed. It's not that. Now, you and I may need to have seasons where we need to get things right. I'm not talking about those instances. I'm talking about times where we perceive the delay. And we start thinking, oh, is it me? Or have I not enough faith? Or did I not say it right? Or did I not do it right? And we get caught up. I get, maybe you don't. I can get wrapped up in this thing. Like, why isn't it happening fast enough? Maybe because there's time. Maybe because there's other people's decisions involved. Maybe that is the thing that is between God and them. And you have no responsibility to it other than to keep praying, being consistent, to water, to weed, to cultivate, and let that thing do its thing, and let these people make their own decisions, and acknowledge you're sovereign. God, I'm not. It's the whole reason I got saved in the first place. Hey, I'm not God. I'm not doing this right. In fact, I am sabotaging myself. Anyway. James 1, 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Very hard right there, just side note. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, yay. Because you know that the testing of your faith, the working out of your faith, God knows, side note, Testing here refers to the exercising, putting your faith through its paces. It doesn't mean that God goes, I don't think that's authentic. God knows. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance, or patience, depending on your version, finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. And there's that maturation concept again. Not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Ask and it will be given to you. I have prayed that prayer more times than I want to admit or remember, because I need wisdom moving through this world correctly. I need God's help all the time. And you notice that the promise of wisdom is given in the process of learning to be patient. One of the quotes that I found was, "It is the years that teach us patience." And it's funny that the older we get, the less time we have, the more capacity we have for waiting. I'm like, wow, that's kind of sad. Wish I'd known that and was capable of doing that when I was younger. The promise of divine wisdom is available at all time, in any time, in any circumstance. I believe in the principle of that promise there. But remember, it is given in the context of trials, testing, and the process of patience. So when you find yourself questioning, wondering why, stuck in the delay, stuck in the duration, and you need help as to know, A, what's going on, and B, what's my part? What would you have me do in the meantime? What would you have me do while you do only what you can do? What would you have me do? That is the prayer for wisdom. And God gives that, God grants that, and God helps. That is that promise. That's the context of that promise. The serenity prayer is super helpful here. Reinhold Niebuhr, the American theologian, wrote the original version. O God and Heavenly Father, grant us the serenity of mind to accept that which cannot be changed, the courage to change that which can be changed, and the wisdom to know one from the other through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I went to a church for a while. The serenity prayer and the whole AA concept was mocked. There's a lot good in it, and that's a very valid prayer. Thank you very much. That's an incredibly valid prayer. The definition of patience, the posture of patience, recognizing that there is a duration, not a delay, that there is a process, and it is not a penalty or a punishment. Let's look at God's promises to the patient. So why be patient? In our modern society, we don't have to be, at least not in the immediate. There are consequences for that. Life is like a credit card. You can rack up the charges, but that bill's going to come. Amen. Why be patient? It is a tough one. By its very nature, it does not yield immediate benefits. It is not glamorous, it is not particularly clever, and it is not particularly popular. Why cultivate this? There are five reasons. First off, God says we should. End of story, every head bowed, every eye closed. God says we should be patient. Amen. He thinks it's important. He is patient. It's a whole sermon, separate sermon on the idea of God's patience with us, with the world, with creation, separate idea. We are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, God trying to grow patience in us. That's why I'm trying to be focused on this. But you could go off on a tangent about how God is patient. Anybody with a matching pair of brain cells and an ounce of self-awareness will know that God has been very patient with them. Amen. God thinks it's important, so much so that the third person of the eternal triune God is here indwelling and active in this world and in us for a bunch of reasons, but one of them is to help cultivate this inside of us. God thinks it is important enough to send the Holy Spirit to cultivate a bunch of things, including patience with us. The second reason I already touched on, which is God is patient with us. So we need to extend the same courtesy to ourselves, and to others. I saw a sign the other day that said, hey, if nobody comes back from the future to stop you, can it really be that bad? God loves you. God is patient with you. God sent the Holy Spirit to help you. If God wanted to smite you or judge you, he would have done so already. There would be a lot of smoldering grease spots on the pavement already. But God is patient with you. And we need to extend that same courtesy. We need to recognize when we get frustrated with ourselves that God is patient with us and that he has answers. He has wisdom for things that we can do. He has wisdom for the things he is doing. And then we need to recognize that in ourselves and grant that same patience to others. Third, patience actually yields tremendous personal benefits. I'm going to run through a whole bunch of stuff here, but in Proverbs it says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. In Ecclesiastes, it says that patience is better than pride, and whoever is patient towards people has great understanding and calms a quarrel. Proverbs 16 goes so far as to say, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Someone who is long-nostrilled. Waiting patiently for the Lord is the key to living a virtuous life. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when evil people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. That is a difficult one. Anybody that knows history or watches the news, I have to turn it off. I'm getting high blood pressure already. We haven't even started the election year. Man, woo! International news, I am like, okay, God, you are in control. I'm just going to pray and do what I can. Having patience towards God pays off. Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. If we're not careful, we can take it for granted. But sometimes it's good to look at things through the eyes of a new believer or to try and remember that new convert experience. It is a very strange thought to think that the lips that spoke the world into existence speak your name. And that the God over all of creation, the entire universe, knows who you are and listens when you pray. When you bring your heart before God, he listens and he hears and he knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows why you are. He knows all these things and he is attentive to you. Now, no, things might not always turn out in the time frame the way that you want. Join the club. Such is life. But God takes a much longer view of you than you do. God sees you now, 5 years from now, 5,000 years from now. God sees you. And God says, I have good things for you. I hear you. I see you. Trust me. Trust me. Wait patiently. Fourth reason, It is the first aspect in the definition of divine love. Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. So what if I speak with elegant languages of people or the exotic languages of angels? But if I live without love? Well, then anything I say is like a clanging brass or a crashing cymbal. What if I have the gift of prophecy and I'm blessed with knowledge and insight into all mysteries? And what if my faith is strong enough to scoop a mountain from its bedrock, yet I live without love? If so, I'm nothing. I could give all that I have to feed the poor. I could surrender my body to be burned as a martyr. But if I do not live in love, I gain nothing by my selfless acts. Love is patient. It is the first descriptor of divine love. Love is kind. Love isn't envious. It doesn't boast, doesn't brag, doesn't strut about. It has no arrogance. It goes on. But the first thing he says is love, agape love, from God is patient. Patience is the key to all the other virtues. Number five, patience is the key to all the other virtues and to receiving the promises of God. I'm circling back to Hebrews 6:12, that the apostles are speaking to the Christians, and he says, we don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. Inheritance. You got to wait for an inheritance. And you can't go praying that the guy dies. That's not right. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. God does miracles. He does not take shortcuts. There is a process here. As I get ready to close and recap, I promised I'd be brief, didn't want to tax your patience, I am going to quote Friedrich Nietzsche, my favorite Antichrist. The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be some long obedience in the same direction, and thereby results, and has always resulted in the long run, something which has made life worth living. A long obedience in the same direction. Now, Christians are called to do that in God, in Christ, with under the power of the Holy Spirit, with the abiding power, with the Holy Spirit in us, alongside us, moving in us and through us to the world. We are called to have that same obedience, that same long obedience, and we do ours in God, with the help of God, by the way. Amen. We are not left as orphans or on our own to do this thing on our own. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be long obedience in the same direction, and thereby results and has always resulted in the long run something which has made life worth living. I have been a Christian almost 40 years now. I've seen a lot of people come and go. This is heartbreaking to me. Sometimes. I've seen a lot of people who started well. I've seen a lot of people who had promise. I've seen a lot of people who were really truly gifted, talented. And they started well, but they didn't finish. In some ways, this is just a personal confession. In some ways, I am grateful for the disability because I've never been the kid with talent. I've always picked last at dodgeball. Right? But it taught me perseverance. It's the tortoise and the hare. I said, I joked the other day that a snail, it's my spirit animal. But slow and steady, keep going, get up, keep going, get up, keep going. You're not picked first. Get up, keep going, just keep going, just keep going. You can't quit. You don't give up. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And again, I got that word as a young Christian going, yeah, but what about, I'm ready to be sent out as a missionary or something. Heck yeah. Like, dude, you got to cut your hair and take off the cape. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. Get up. Keep going. God does not take shortcuts. What he is birthing in us and through us is the real deal. Amen. If we submit to the process, if we cultivate these fruits, if we spend time in God, you and I can take a shortcut. We can. And I have seen, and if you've been around church long enough, unfortunately, you will see this. You will see people who will take shortcuts, who will rely on their talent or their emotion or their connections, and you will get, time will reveal what it is. And it's hard to watch them crash and burn. It's tough. Anyway, sorry, I want to end on a good note, not a bad note. Get up, keep going. Get up, keep going. Be patient. So, to recap, and a call to action. This fruit and all the other fruits are cultivated in the sun, in normal soil with proper cultivation in the sun. This refers to our response and responsibility, our relationship with God, the day-to-day, honest, workaday, day-in, day-out relationship with God. One of the miracles of the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament has resonated for me, which is when he tells the leper, the general who comes from Syria, right? Everybody know that story? I'm y'all are Christian, amen. So this guy with leprosy comes to see a prophet. The prophet doesn't even go out of his house to go see him. The general gets all indignant and was like, surely he'd come out and do the wooga booga, you know, pray some big long prayer over me into some ceremony. But instead he tells me to dip in a muddy river. I am offended. Doesn't he know who I am? And doesn't he know the ceremony of religion? And I got to have all the feels and the goosebumps. Tell me to dip in a river. There's better rivers in my home country. And then he has some nice servant, you know, friend, somebody who knows him, comes along and says, hey, if he'd asked you to crawl on your knees over broken glass for 5 miles, you would have done that, right? That's a paraphrase. It's Pat's version. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, just go dip in the river. It's the very simple, repetitive acts, normal things that a lot of times that God works the miracles through. Because in this general, he just dips. He just does the dip 7 times. And the 7th time he comes out, he's clean. And for me, a lot of things in my life have not been huge and big and dramatic. Now, God has intervened. Amen. But it resonates with me because it just has to do with patience, perseverance, and consistency. Just keep going. And I can look back at my life after 40 years and go, wow, God has helped me. God has genuinely and truly helped me and preserved me and done miracles and given me friends and family, kids, grandkids. God has done things in my life and through my life. That's God. That's the things that have happened to me. That's God. That's God helping me. My life would be a broken, self-pitying mess if it wasn't for Jesus and the love of my wife. Amen. This fruit and all the others that have been talked about and will be talked about are cultivated in the sun in our day-to-day relationship with God. Going to God in the transitions, in the trials, and in the trauma of life, we bring them to God. And in the space that we make, God breathes and cultivates these things and helps us to navigate successfully over the long haul till we get to the inherited promise. The second thing is the posture of the patient people, which is to recognize the ingredient of time and the power of process. Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It is how we behave while we are waiting. Patrick, okay? Listen, God convicts me about these things, and so now I'm up here to convict you about these things. Amen. Let's pass that on. Misery loves company. Amen. So it is not the ability to wait. It is how we behave while we are waiting. It is acknowledging that there are things that only God can do that are between God and that person or God and those circumstances. And then there are things that we do in the meantime while we are waiting. We do not try to usurp that our place in the process or God's place in the process. We do not try to interfere. We let it alone. We pray about it. Again, we are not talking about neglecting an emergency or neglecting a festering issue or being enfeebled or tolerant of something that is obviously wrong. Separate topic. We're talking about acknowledging that there is a process here. And the last thing, patience is the first ingredient to divine love, and it is the key to receiving God's promises. So I'm going to close. I'm going to ask you, as I close, to bow your head and to bring the concept of patience before God. And to ask yourself for God to help you to acknowledge what or who you need patience with. If there's something that comes to mind, a situation, a circumstance, a person, an issue, a big issue, a small issue. What or who do you need patience with? The first thing is to ask God to bring that to mind. The second thing is then to ask God for the wisdom to know what your part in that is. To ask God for a refill of your patience, and to repent and to ask God for forgiveness for your impatience or for your interference, and to say, God, I trust you. Let me know what I need to do in the meantime. I'm going to trust you. I'm asking you for a refill from your heart, from your endless store. I'm asking you for a refill, and I'm asking you for the wisdom to know what my part in this is, what you would have me do, how you would have me persist, how you would have me endure, how many deep breaths do I need to take here? Because the important thing is I need to continue. I need to have this long obedience in the same direction. God, help me. God, fill me with your love. Fill me with the fruits of your Spirit, grow them in me, and let me remember that you are always patient with me and that your love is patient. So the two action tasks, to acknowledge what or who you need patience with and ask God for the wisdom and the refill and to know what to do, what you should do in the meantime. Mighty God, I thank you for the privilege of being even allowed in church, let alone to minister your word. I ask that the Holy Spirit would descend upon this place, God, and that you would help us, God, to cultivate grace and patience in our souls, God, in our bones, in our bellies, God, that we can go out into the world filled with your authentic love. God, that we can share and endure and stand and inherit the promises of your goodness. And in the meantime, point others towards that. Be an example and a model for others. Jesus, I thank you. You died and you rose again 3 days later. You are alive. You are a living Savior. And you sent your Spirit to bless us and to empower us. Bless us. Fill us with the fruit and the power of your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name.